Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello, welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Now, today we are talking to Blair Abbey. Now, Blair has 100,000 books out. No, well, actually, he hasn't quite got that many, but he has got a lot of books out, and it's all about meditation. Now, why is meditation so particular to Blair? Well, because of the situation and the circumstances that he went through, meditation was basically his savior. Meditation was the way he got through it. And we're going to talk all about meditation, but I want to get the understanding of why someone would turn to meditation, why somebody would follow this sort of path. There has to be some sort of reason behind it, because we don't normally just turn to a different way of life without some sort of catalyst. And yes, we know all about that, and we're going to talk all about that side of it too. So I want to bring onto the show Blair. Welcome, Blair.
Susan, how are you? I'm so glad to be here. I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's been a long time coming. I had a lot of people booked in, and so we've had to have this extended period of time, but yes. I'm really looking forward to it. Look, I was talking to you before we came on the show, before we started recording, and one of the things I do have not an issue with, but one of the things I wanted to go a bit deeper in is meditation, and the main reason is I have a lot of guests on the show and a lot of them say, oh, yes, I did this and I did some meditation. I did some this and did some that. And they seem to brush it off. And yes. Yet I know personally, meditation was a huge change, a huge catalyst in my life to change the way I was thinking and feeling and going along with that way. So I really do want to get into meditation. But before we go there, sorry to do this to you, but you have to talk a little bit about your life first. So okay. A little bit about the basics of getting from point A to point B, and then we're going to talk about the experience, all right?
Very good.
Right. Well, it's over to you, Blair. How did you get from where you were to where you are now? A little bit of your background.
Well, let me take you actually back to the beginning of my meditation practice. In 1972, I moved from North Carolina, which is on the East Coast of the United States, to California and to the San Francisco Bay Area. Shortly thereafter, I began taking a yoga class at an ashram in downtown San Francisco. It was a fellow named Satchidananda, world known, and was one of the fellows who introduced Woodstock back during that time. And I did a yoga class at the ashram, and meditation was always part of the class. I've been doing yoga now and meditation for 45 years. I've continued the practice from the time that I began doing it all the way back more than 45 years ago. And it's been really valuable. Yoga keeps me limber and stretched out, and meditation and that type of meditation with that program was always really nice. However, my real breakthrough with meditation came a little more than six years ago when I had moved to San Diego to take a large promotion with an organization as assistant state director. Unfortunately, I found myself in employee hell because my boss was, to be generous, a psychopath. She was abusing employees. She was mishandling funds. She was running the program into the ground. And she was talking about blaming me for all of that because it began to come to light that there was a problem. Well, all of those things were just unacceptable. And so what I decided to do was a whistleblowing and reported what was going on to the higher ups. An investigation was done. She was fired, but they fired me too. They said I was a troublemaker. Well, what that essentially meant was that I had exposed their incompetence in managing her, and that had brought bad attention, if you will, to the fact that they weren't watching after things, and that made me a troublemaker. And apparently that happens to a lot of people who do whistleblowings. That was really the impetus for me to, as a result, take a deep dive into my meditation practice.
So Blair, when you're talking about whistleblowing,
yes,
it can be different. Look, I hear the terminology and you hear it a lot, but yes, you hear it in the higher rankings of corporate worlds. Yes. What else is whistleblowing? If whistleblowing is high up in those ranks, what is it that's happening in those lower ranks? Because I know I've had an experience similar to that. So what would you call it? Is it still classed as whistleblowing? What can you explain whistleblowing a little bit stronger for us?
Yes. I would consider any time that somebody in an organization decides to let higher-ups know what's going on as whistleblowing. That can be as little as just, an anonymous, letter to somebody, but it could be what I did, which was basically an official report about what the problem was. But whistleblowing can be any time that you're in a situation where attention needs to be called to injustices that are being done or to problems that are occurring, which you can't control and which really need some light shined on them.
Okay, so that makes sense. When would we be feeling that? When would we be experiencing that? Like, how were you feeling? Because there's a lot of times when we will turn a blind eye because we don't feel we have an ability to say anything. We don't feel we've got the ability to do anything about it. Like, this is how the corporate business works, or this is how this company works. This, you know, suck it up, princess, which is one of the things that happened with me. Suck it up, princess. So how were you feeling when you were going through all this?
Well, it was awful because I had been doing this kind of work for about 25 years, and I'd been doing it very successfully. I'd been doing it in a state in North Carolina prior to this that was a very successful program. And so it was debilitating. I got really upset about it. Watching my fellow employees get abused, because I wouldn't let myself get abused, but watching my fellow employees get abused was awful. Watching the program just being run into the ground and not really being able to do anything about it, I just really felt helpless. And ultimately, I decided, I just can't put up with this anymore. I'm going to throw caution to the wind, and I'm going to let people know at higher levels what's going on, and hopefully there'll be a good outcome.
Okay, so in that sort of context, were you aware that you could lose your job from this, or were you going, it needs to be said, and is there a possibility that I was going to lose my job, or did you have no feeling that that's what was going to happen?
You know, I was just really, I think, operating on trust that the right outcome would occur. And I thought the right outcome was an investigation and she would be dismissed. But I really didn't consider too much whether this was going to cost me my job or not, because I was in a situation at a junior college where you know, that there are safeguards against that sort of thing. But it turned out I was only a few weeks before I would have gotten full protection in doing what I did. And that's the thing that ended up exposing me then to being dismissed as well.
Okay. That I understand. So if you were there a bit longer, you would have been a bit more protected. Yes. But when these things are happening and they're against your morals or that they're not right, it's really hard not to say anything. And I know in my situation, I was a head of administration for a college, and I had my boss, and this was more of a moral thing. He was having an affair, and it was like in front of everybody. Yes. And I knew his wife and his young children. I didn't feel I had the right to do the whistleblowing. I didn't feel I had the right to judge whether what he was doing was right or wrong, but I couldn't stay there. I ended up getting another job. So I basically lost that one and ended up having to go right down to the bottom of the ladder again and start as a receptionist, which was really, really disappointing, that part, having to start like that. But it's, again, when something goes against you and you're feeling it in every way in your body and you're watching people that you know be abused in front of you, you've got to say something, don't you?
I think so. I mean, I tried to do a number of things to bring some correction to what was going on, and nothing that I did turned out to be helpful. And it was definitely headed in the wrong direction. And the fact that she was beginning to make noises about blaming me for all the problems that occurred was really, I think, the last straw that led me to do the reporting of what was going on again to the higher ups.
Yeah, no, you've made it official. And once it's official, that's it. They have to respond then, don't they?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I understand that. That is a huge situation. So where we're up to now is that she's lost her job. Yes. You've also lost your job. So what did you do then?
Well, as you can imagine, it was devastating. And I think you probably had a similar experience. It was devastating. You know, my income was gone. My position was gone. I was in a new place and didn't know a lot of people. And my ego, which had been out to hear, frankly, about, you know, being a leader and a manager and all of that, all of that was punctured. And I decided that what I would do, you know, would be to look for other opportunities. But really what I did for therapy was to begin to write, to journal. I would sit in the evening and just pour out my thoughts and feelings onto the keyboard. Now, the interesting thing about that, and also I took a deeper dive into my meditation practice, spent more time doing meditation. And the combination of those two things had an interesting thing occur, which was what I am now calling soul contact, where I began to get a sense of soul or higher consciousness as being a part of me, which I had really never accessed prior to that in any of the other explorations that I had done. There were times that I would sit at the keyboard and I would write, and I would begin to get a sense of spirit just kind of flowing through my fingers onto the keyboard and onto the screen. And a lot, there were times frequently where what was flowing onto the screen wasn't my normal human mind generating the ideas, the concepts, and the material that I was pouring into this journal that I had started. And it began to be clear that what I was having was an experience of illumination.
Okay, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute, yes. Blair. Hang on. You're going too fast. I want to.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So, and look, it's really funny because I'm really relating to this because I know I've gone through it.
Yeah.
So you have started journaling. Now, when people start talking about journaling,
yes.
We normally talk about handwriting journaling,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
You're talking about keyboard journaling. And that's what I like because that's what I did as well.
Yes.
I didn't want to do the handwriting. I started doing the keyboard writing. And I would just start typing. Right. And it started to all flow through too.
Yeah.
So that was your first big step, wasn't it? Like you were doing your meditation, and we're going to talk a bit more about that. But one of those things was journaling and how important that is, because I see journaling, and I'll get your opinion on it, but
yes.
I see journaling as an active meditation, not a passive meditation, but an active meditation.
Yeah, I think that's true. Absolutely.
And that's when I started writing my book because of all that. But all right. So you sorry, I'll go.
So it becomes, and you may have had the same experience. It becomes an active meditation when you begin to have an experience of higher consciousness, or when you begin to have an experience that expands your awareness so that you have a sense that something else is happening besides you that you're writing, but there is the spirit is involved, and that there's a movement that begins to happen that's in a way kind of mind blowing. I mean, literally, you know, blowing your three-dimensional mind that. You know, can this possibly be happening? I mean, what is going on here? But it doesn't take very long to begin to trust that, because I could feel it was a part of me, but it's the higher consciousness part of me, or the soul consciousness of me, that I began to have contact with, and that began to flow through me and began to flow into the keyboard.
It is, and it's that feeling. It's really, really hard to explain. You know, but you don't know. You know what you're doing, but you don't know what's coming out, what's happening, and you know that there's something else there that's guiding you. One of the things that reminds me of it, and the only way I can sort of get a visual of it, I don't know if you remember the movie Ghost, where she was working with the pottery, and he came in behind her and was moving her hands. That's almost what it felt like.
It's kind of like that. Yes, exactly.
But the
interesting thing is that it's a part of you, which you've kind of always known was there, but which you had never invited in fully, and therefore it couldn't participate in my life. It couldn't. It was there. It was available. It's always available. It always wanted to be part of my life, but I had never opened up to it. I'd never allowed it to come in. And then once I opened up to it, it just flooded in. I mean, it's just, you know, it was and the development of the relationship with that part of myself has been an ongoing process now for the last 6 or 7 years. You know, on a daily basis, I have contacts and conversations with that part of myself, which I call High C, kind of a nickname for my higher consciousness. And the development of that soul contact and the development of that soul contact development has been a very interesting and illuminating and again, human mind-blowing process. And it kind of got me beyond the chatter that my human mind has had a tendency to do.
Yes. Now, before I go any further, if you want to connect with Blair, it is highcmeditation.com. So, HI.
Yes.
Then the capital C.
Yeah.
Yep. Meditation.com. So you can connect with him there, and he's got a lot in there. He's got these 6 books on there too. We're going to talk about soon. I totally get that feeling. I totally get that understanding. Let's just go back a little bit.
Okay.
Because I want the listeners to know the step-by-steps to get to that point. Because I know I was already practicing meditation. Now, I wasn't doing it a heavy duty. It might have been a couple of times a week. When I first started doing meditation, I'm one of these people that if you're going to do it, hey, mate, do it. Just go and do it. So I did it, and I did it every day for, you know, I started off 10 minutes, 15, went to 20. I would then go every day for an hour in the afternoon before the kids got home from school. So I set myself a time, I set myself a routine, and I started to follow that. But when this all happened, my experience happened, I was not practicing meditation anywhere near that. So I guess, but I did know how to do that. So I guess where I'd love to go now is step back, because you had already practiced meditation before the wheels fell off as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Can we just go through and what is some nice, easy, basic understandings of how we can start meditation, how we can start to go with that, how we can start to open up and allow us to be able to listen to that spirit coming through?
I understand. Well, first of all, meditation really is not mysterious. It's not magical. And it's not hard to do. I mean, it's as easy as taking a breath into out 4 and just sort of sinking into your heart and having your mind stop chattering for a moment. I mean, it's as simple as that. Some people meditate by praying. Some people meditate by doing yoga. Some people meditate playing tennis, active meditation, Tai Chi, which I like to do. So there are all kinds of ways that you can learn to meditate, but it's really very simple. Doesn't have to be complicated. A lot of meditation practices, though, are about mind training. And mind training meaning trying to train the mind to be quiet enough to have some space between the chatter. And that can be hard, especially if you want to do meditation for extended periods of time, because your mind wants to come in there and wants to be in charge and so forth. So a lot of the meditation practices are more complicated and also are about mind training, which can be difficult and can take years to do. What I realized as a result of the work that I was doing in conjunction with my higher consciousness was that there is a more direct path to what I would call illumination, or an easier way to meditate following a process which I called higher consciousness meditation. And higher consciousness meditation, it has about 3 or 4 steps to it, the first of which is to just say to yourself as you sit down in a chair or sit down on the floor and cross your legs, saying to yourself, peace, be still. And just taking a breath and begin to, again, sink into your heart. And then step 2 is to say, God, or I like to use the term the all, because God has so many different connotations. The all is, and just have it be an open-ended statement and allow God, Spirit, the all to fill in the space there that you allow for that part of yourself to communicate to you. And it will. Now, it can take a while. You might have to do it 10, 15, 20 times before you begin to sense that, oh, the all is omnipresence. I get that. I can feel that. Oh, I'm one with that. And so the acknowledgement is of the all, letting the all respond, show itself to you, and then responding with, oh, I'm one with that. Sure, of course. The third step is to do another open-ended statement, which is higher consciousness is, in an open-ended statement, or soul is, and an open-ended statement that allows soul then to respond. And the response might be your best friend. Higher consciousness is your partner in life. Higher consciousness has waited for lifetimes to develop a relationship with you. Higher consciousness is that part of yourself, which is the fifth dimensional part of yourself. So higher consciousness begins to fill in that blank and begins to reveal itself and begins to have a relationship with you, and followed it up with, I'm in one with that. Of course, that's a part of who I am and what I'm about. And then the next step is to say, I am an eternal being. All of us are eternal beings. We know that we are eternal beings. We know that this is not just what's going on, this human three-dimensional experience that we're having. So I am an eternal being, one with the all, one with higher consciousness. And then finishing up with illuminate, elevate, radiate. So you begin to get a sense of illumination. You begin to get a sense of elevation of your vibrational rate. You begin to get a sense of, yes, I am one with spirit. It's becoming more and more a part of who I am. And I radiate that out into my world and share that, knowing that it's going to have a positive impact. So it's a very simple, it's just a very simple meditation process, but it has a couple of steps that are designed not to train the mind, but to open up to that higher part of ourselves, that higher consciousness part of ourselves that's waiting, just waiting, wanting, you know, to be involved in your life.
I love that. Yes. And it makes it takes you on that little journey. So you're not trying to do the whole lot in one big fell swoop. You're doing it bit by bit, and you're building up your meditative strength.
Correct.
I think I've just made that.
That's a good way of describing it. And the more you do it, the more you want to do it. The more you do it, the better you get
exactly
at it.
That's exactly what I found. I got to the stage where I could not go a day, couldn't go without it. It was part of my routine so strongly.
Yes.
And I loved it.
And it's a great way to start the day. It's a great way to end a day. So I tend to do it twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. It's a great way to kind of get yourself ready to go to bed. It's a great way to help you go to sleep. Now, during the day, I think it's also helpful to do mindfulness meditation techniques or practices, which tend to be just taking a moment, taking a breath, taking a sacred breath. Just taking a moment, and just do it once a day. Just take one moment for one day to start with. But again, saying peace, be still, is a great mindfulness technique. I offer a bunch of different techniques in my mindfulness book, but there are sayings that you can say to yourself that remind you of who you are and take you out of your normal day-to-day, you know, mind churning activity, and put you into just a quick moment of being in the moment and just having an experience. And it's a good saying peace to yourself, peace be still, before you have to go give a big presentation, for example, is a great way to calm yourself down in a meeting that's boring and, mind-numbingly so. Saying to yourself, peace be still, is a way to just settle in to the moment, let it be, look around, see the bigness of the people who you're having your meeting with. These are techniques that during the day can calm you down, and you might stop shouting at the person who just pulled over in front of you in traffic, and realize that they're human too, and they're in a state of agitation, and they just made a mistake, and it's okay. Forgive them for pulling over in front of you instead of cursing at them. So those are the two things that I do on a daily regular basis, and it begins to become kind of a lifestyle where I want to be peaceful. I don't want to be stressed. I want to be loving. I want to be natural. I want to be intuitive. I want to be creative. And this is a way for all of those things to occur, and your life kind of begins to lift up a bit. People and circumstances and activities begin to take on they begin to really support your life, and good things and people begin to be attracted to you as a result of your just getting calm, as a result of your vibration going up. The law of attraction says like is attracted to like. So if you're in a higher state of consciousness, you're likely to draw higher states of people, things, and circumstances into your life. If you're, down in the darkness, the tendency is to, unfortunately, attract dark people, things, and circumstances into your life. So it's a way of really altering the quality of your life by rising up in consciousness.
Okay, I've got to jump in here because I'm loving where you're going with this. The books that you've got, because you've just basically spoke about them without speaking about them.
Okay, yeah, it's true.
You've got a book called The Meditation Book. So obviously that's all about meditation. You've got a book called The Mindfulness Book, and that obviously is all about mindfulness.
Yes.
The Manifestation Book.
Yes.
Obviously that's about manifestations. Homage to the Spirit. I love that. I love the name of that, Homage to the Spirit.
That's a poetry book.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. The Meditation Journal. So that would be something that we can jot notes down with?
Correct. And it sort of gives guides and prompts and all that kind of stuff to once you get in doing meditation. I think it's good to write down what happens as you go, because over time, what you see is your progress. You might not be able to see the progress difference between today and tomorrow, or even between today and next week. But if you journal your experiences and go back and look at it periodically, you can really see how much progress you've made in a week or a month. And certainly how much progress you've made in a year as a result of just making quick notes about your experiences and your progress, and even the days that you don't have any progress and that you hate and you don't want to do it, and all of that. It's all part of the learning and development of consciousness process.
Yes. And again, it takes you further up to when you are doing journaling, if you do want to do it on the typewriter and the computer. On the computer, you're starting that process then.
Yes.
Well, I really like that. And I remember for a little while there, I was writing down my dreams. But to write down your meditation in even dot form, like you said, it makes it real. It makes what you're seeing, what you're intuitively receiving,
correct.
It makes it, it concretes it to a certain degree.
It does. It really does. Yeah. Because it's a way of, because what will happen is you'll have the light bulb will go off about something. You'll have a realization about something. You'll understand something that you never understood before. You'll have experiences that are worth putting down on, you know, either on paper or typing into your computer journal. And these are, I've been doing this now for a little over 6 years. I've got 700,000 words of ideas, understandings, realization. I mean, this is really where my books came from, was from just pouring out and letting spirit flow into the keyboard. And, you know, the next thing you know, I've got hundreds of thousands of words. And that's what became the real source of my books, was everything that I was writing on a journaling basis.
I just love it. But there's one I didn't mention because I want to actually go into it a little bit deeper.
Okay.
But before I do this, I've got this little saying that I have. And it's like, to pray is to ask, to meditate is to receive, and to visualize is to create.
I like that.
And it's not necessarily praying, but more about asking. And yes. One of the things I've done with my meditation practice too is if I'm stuck with something, if I'm not sure where I'm going with it, I ask.
Yes.
And I ask before I go, can you give me some guidance on this? Oh, for goodness sake, you know, help me with this. Sometimes yes. I yell.
Yeah.
Sometimes
right.
I use swear words.
And then the key, and I know you know this, the key is then listening.
Yes.
To the answer.
Yes.
Not just asking or not just saying, you know, or even visualizing, you know, I visualize a BMW appearing in my driveway tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. That's kind of silly. But asking, my manifestation book is just what you're talking about. And the manifestation process that I have is called the best possible outcome. And the way that works is I ask for the best possible outcome as it relates to my podcast session with Susan, pausing, getting a sense that spirit is moved a little bit, something's happened, something, okay, and then thanking spirit for its involvement in my life. So simple, but you can use the best possible outcome process for anything. You can use it for a parking place. You can use it for a meeting. You can use it for an event. You can use it for, you know, any type of activity. The beauty of it is that you don't prescribe or say to spirit or God, here's what I want. It's, I want the best possible outcome related to, in a big picture sort of way, some specific issue, and then allowing spirit to answer and to move in a way that where spirit knows more what you want, what you need as far as your growth and evolution is concerned, and often will bring you something better than you thought it had ever thought that it might be. So the outcome can be much bigger than what your little, you know, mind can conceive of. I want, and, you know, begging God for it as if God were a Santa Claus.
Yes.
But instead, being open to what spirit and what your soul has in store for you.
Yes, and open to receiving those messages.
Exactly. Precisely.
And we can do that through meditation, and that's the part, you know, receive those messages, then you can act on it. Like, you
yes.
know, it's, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's that that was the manifestation book.
Right.
I want to quickly, because we're getting through the time now, I just want to quickly go back over the amazing benefits of meditation. I didn't respond to that one. Okay. You did talk about that, but I don't think people really realize the benefits of meditation, because they think, oh, you know, yeah, you get a bit of quiet time, rah, rah, rah. But it changes your world in a different, you know, it changes your outlook of the world in so many different ways.
It does. And that's kind of what we've been talking about. Now, the interesting thing about the many benefits of meditation is that that book is a deep dive into the scientific research on meditation, where the scientific research in 3,500 studies that have been done has shown the positive impact that meditation can have on your on you physically, mentally, and emotionally, that it can affect your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, and also lift your consciousness. So that's really what that book is about, is a deep dive into what the scientific research says, and then some of the reasons why, for example, not only stress, but heart conditions, even psoriasis has positively responded to meditation. So people have found on emotional levels, mental levels, and physical levels that meditation can have a positive effect in that way as well on our, you know, on our three-dimensional biomechanical vehicle, you know, that we run around in with this onboard computer processor that's constantly churning out text messages to us about what we should be doing.
So because we are getting a bit low now on time, I do want to let everyone know that they can get a free copy of Blair's The Mindfulness Book. You can get that on the website too. So we've got a website going along the ticker tape, but I would suggest you go to the highcmeditation.com, because on there you will see all the books.
See all the books, sample chapters, blogs. I do a blog post twice a month, and it's always kind of what's going on with me now and some of the realizations that I've had today about certain things. So that's also a way to kind of stay tuned, if you will.
Yes. Well, have you got any last little tips or advice or something you'd like to bring to the table before we say goodbye?
Really only to say, by way of summary, that it's important to really understand that you and I, and we are all eternal beings. And that if we don't learn that lesson, we're kind of, as a species, going to be in trouble over the next 50 years if we don't wake up and if we don't begin to see how important it is to remember that if we don't all succeed and thrive, none of us are going to succeed and thrive. And this is going to be a difficult time. So all of this that we're talking about not only has personal impact, but it also has, worldwide impact.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You can't fix something external until you've sorted it out in here, because all you're doing is, if you can imagine, you're a paint pot, and it's a little bit gray in there, and you're the color of the gray, and you're trying to paint something green or blue or yellow. Yes. You can only give out and paint what you've got inside you. So fix what you've got inside you, and you will see the changes in your community, in your surrounding people to start with, and it expands from there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's I think your whole world really takes on a different hue when you begin to have soul contact and have a sense of higher consciousness, and your whole life begins to change and get better, really.
It does. There's hiccups. It's not easy. I remember I lost a few friends when I started doing my changing, because they were friends that were no longer we were vibrating at a different frequency.
Right, that's right. Inconsistent vibratory rate. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, unfortunately, I just couldn't handle that negativity. I had to let them go. They needed to learn their bits and I'm learning my bits. So, it can be a bit challenging, but, hey, it's doesn't it change? But that's it. Thank you so much for being on the show, Blair. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love how
this is great. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I hope this message resonates with people and that they begin to wake up.
Yeah, it will. Stay there. I need to chat with you after this, but that is it. I've got to do this button. Hey, guys, check out the website, highcmeditation.com, and you'll see all these books on there. They're just fascinating. And I guess what I really like is that if you're stuck with something, he's got a book there for that. He's got a deep dive into it. If you don't understand what the benefits of meditation are, if you're sort of not really sure, I've heard it all before, jump on, grab the book and really get an understanding of it. If you need that analytical aspect to it, do that, because I know I'm one of those types of people. You can tell me that's, that's good for you, and I need to have a little bit more proof, a little bit more understanding, and then allow my intuition to go, yep, you got to go for it. We've got to have that balance. So jump on, highcmeditation.com. But that's it from me this week. Share, like, subscribe to the podcast, because we would love to see you back next week. And that's it from me today. All right, bye for now.